Are you with me, church family? We're free moral agents. So let me give you an analogy. And since they didn't give me a mic, I guess that was to keep me from walking too much today, but that may not stop me because I like to move. Worship is about interaction. Ooh, you didn't hear me. Worship is about interaction. So be prepared to interact, and we are going to read some scripture today. But let me give you an analogy. There's a gentleman that I used to work for, a good friend. His name is Roy Cox. I don't get a chance to speak with Roy as much, but I learned so much from him. And he invited me to play a sport, and that sport was golf. And frankly, golf wound up really being more of a relaxing, fun thing than I ever imagined. But unlike other things that transpire in our lives, golf is not this big competition the way we may see it on TV or the way people may talk about it from a Masters and getting a blazer and all that. Golf is just a course. The person who is playing golf is not playing against another person. They're playing against the course. So I'm here to tell you that the lives that we're living, we're just taking the time to go against the course. So we're not competing with anybody. We're only competing against ourselves because we have the power of choice. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for letting us be here and be with us in this message and this time and this moment of interaction. Let the Holy Spirit walk amongst us and touch us, keep us growing and glowing and just doing all the things that we need to do for thee. Thank you, Lord, so much again for the privilege to just to be here and interact. Let us pause for a moment, Lord, and hear you touch our minds. Let us feel our hearts beating. Let us know that our lungs are pumping and that you're the creator and you gave us that. Let us pause for a moment, Lord. Pause for a moment. Thank you for the brief moment of meditation. In Jesus' name we pray, let us all say, amen. Amen. Well, church, you know I like to get started, so let us get started. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. First what? Chapter 15, what verse? 1 Samuel. Where is Samuel at? Let me hear you say it. It's where? What book is it after? What book is it before? It's before 2 Samuel, all right? So 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to start with verse 1. Who are we competing with? Why are we competing with ourselves? Why are we competing with ourselves? You ever think about that? You ever pause for a moment and go, why am I competing with myself? God has given me the privilege of being able to be here to be a witness and to share his love freely and has promised that we all have a mansion in heaven. So what are we competing for? Anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 15. The title of today's sermon is Competing Only Against Oneself. So, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. Ooh, the Lord has a great memory. I just want to make sure I point that out. The Lord has a great memory. You think ours is bad, but he has a great memory. And so he says, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel and how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite who? And utterly what? Destroy all they have and spare them not. Listen closely. But slay both what? Man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul did what? He gathered the people together and what? And numbered them to tell them. You got to be with me. This is interactive, church. Got to be paying attention. See, we spend time sometimes reading scripture and we go blah, 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 this, that, blah, blah, blah. No, no. We need to be reading and absorbing, hearing each other, seeing what the word says, and thinking. It's about processing, church family. So 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. So let's pause for a moment. Who had a memory? God had a memory. And what did he remember? I can't hear you, church family. Maybe that's because I don't have the mic. Can you hear me? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to come down because I need to hear you. So who had memory? What did he remember? Amalek made wait for who? And he didn't like that, right? So he gave instructions to who? Via who? Samuel. To go and do what? To go and utterly not have a fight with, not have a chat with, not to break bread with, but to what? Utterly destroy. What? Man and what? Child and sucker. Ox and sheep. Utterly destroy means everything. Are you with me, church fam? Okay, so here we go. Uh-oh, I lost my page. Bear with me. All right, and Saul, so they went and they were waiting. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. You with me? For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou camest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. He what? Who did he take? Took Agag alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the what? But Saul and the people spared who? And the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good. Good by who? Good by who? Good by their standards. And would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vowed and refused, that they destroyed utterly. So let's pause for a moment. Let's just do a quick review. Who remembered something? And God told who? Saul to go do something. What did he tell him to do? Yeah, you're missing a key word. I hear destroy. Utterly destroy. Right? And when it came to it, he did his part to communicate to a kindred community that if you do not leave, I will have to utterly destroy you. So that's confirmation that Saul got the message. Are you with me, church man? He got the message. Wouldn't you agree? So they got out. So who was left? Who was left? Amalekites. So he goes in with all those people. He went in. And he wiped them all out. He utterly destroyed them. Huh? No, he did not. What did he do? He spared who? He spared a king. And in other things that was good to their standards. Now, Saul was king of who? He's king of Israel. Saul represented who? God. He represented God to people. Now, everyone knows who Samuel is. Samuel was the prophet, right? Samuel was the one who would bring the word, the messages, things of that standpoint. But the people wanted a king. They already had a heavenly king, but they wanted a human symbol. Did y'all catch that? They wanted a human symbol. So God let them have Saul as a king. So here you are, the king, the human symbol that was asked for, representing God, and God has told you to go do something. You're already the king. human. God told you to go do something. Did he do it? Why didn't he do it? He spared him. Why? Saul didn't do it because Saul was competing with himself. Are you with me, church family? Saul was competing with himself. Something going on with his fan, but don't turn it off. We're going to keep going. But this is what happens when we compete with ourselves. So verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it what? It repenteth me that I set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told unto Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleeding of the sheep in my eyes and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now listen to this. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spare the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, if you continue reading on, you'll see that Saul has lost favor with God. You saw it in the previous scriptures, but look at what he says. He says, the people. It was him that spared Agag. It was him who said, we're going to keep these things. It was Saul competing with himself. You know, I'm going to say this to y'all. There's times where I sit with some of the families, whether it's here or in other churches, and I'm not going to divulge anybody's personal information. Let's be clear. I'm just sharing something with you. And we be in these little sessions, and there's problems that be transpiring between folks within the same household. And you know how often it boils down that the party has an issue because he or she is competing with himself. Sometimes I think that folks really believe that when you're standing there sometimes and you're on a diet and you see that ice cream and you turn to the right and you see the person with the little red suit on the shoulder, and then y'all imagine this other person with the white outfit. Y'all really think that those are two distinct entities that you're imagining that are on your two shoulders. Guess what? It's just one person standing there. It's just one person standing there. That one person is competing with oneself. Saul missed out on the opportunity to be a great king, competing with himself. Jonah. How many people know Jonah? How many people here know Jonah? Man, only one person raised their hand and said thank you and said that they knew Jonah. That's a little scary, church family. I thought more people would know Jonah than that. But see, everybody always try to remember Jonah and he ran away in the whale and all that. That's not where I'm going to come from here. That's not where I'm coming from. Jonah had a problem. Jonah had a problem. Here you are, highly recognized. I mean, if you want to use cartoons as an example, VeggieTale did a cartoon and Jonah came in on a huge camel and people throughout the land, oh, that's the man of God. He was highly recognized, highly respected, known for delivering God's words, known for delivering God's love, mercy, things of that standpoint. And the Lord said, hey, you've done a wonderful job. Why don't we go take care of those folks in Nineveh? Now, we're going to skip all the stuff in between, and we're going to go to Jonah, chapter 3. We're going to go where? Where's Jonah at, church family? I know I heard somebody say chapter 3, but I know it's after Obadiah, but I can't remember the one that's before. I think it's before Micah. So go to Obadiah and Micah. So we're going to go to chapter 3.
So we spend too much time focusing on the well, but we need to focus on what was going on with Jonah. You're a highly decorated officer of the Lord, highly respected. When I say decorated, I don't mean necessary medals and things to that standpoint. But people know who you are, and they're giving you the greatest respect. What are you doing? Jonah, what are you doing? So here he is. So chapter 3, we're just going to read. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, go into Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose after being against it repeatedly. He went arose, and now Nineveh was exceedingly a great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So he got there. He really fought the Lord to finally get there, but he went. He did his little spiel. He's in Nineveh, and so he does this little spiel. Then there's a pause, and now we're going to go forward. So the people of Nineveh believed who? Now, you know what's interesting? We do not realize how much of an impact we had. If people know who you are, people know who you are? Do people know who you are? People in your job know who you are? People in your house definitely know who you are. People on the street know who you are? So when people know who you are and you come and you deliver something and they know who you are, they believe you. In this case, they knew who Jonah was. And they believed who? They believed who? They believed God, because Jonah has been repeatedly identified with being what? God's representative. So they believed God and proclaimed a fast. Look at how these people responded. They didn't have a lot of dialogue, backlash. They said, woo, we know he's the man of God. We believe God. So they did a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least. So the person who had the most clothes, houses, land, that person, all the way to the person who had nothing. You understand what I'm saying? The homeless on the street. They did all this. For the word came unto the king. Who? The king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. Listen to this. And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth. And in addition to that, he sat in ashes. This was a king of Nineveh, a city deemed to be extremely wicked. And here's Jonah. They knew who he was. They believed God, and they responded. Now, who was the king of Nineveh competing with? Somebody. Who was he competing with? He competed with himself. He said, hey, I believe in God. I can choose to go this way or go that way. But if I'm competing with myself and I believe in God, I'm going to respond. I'm going to take off this guard, because it means nothing if God's going to destroy this place in 40 days. I can't stop him. Are you with me, church family? He recognized his position. Let me take this off. Let me throw on some sackcloth. There's a lot of people that are going to die if I at least don't do my part. Oh, and while I'm at it, let me sit in some ashes. And you know, if you read some of the things associated with this, he was extremely humble, and he dirtied himself, and he wanted to show his humility. He got rid of self and said, God, me. God, me. I don't count. God does. Let's continue. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink. So he lived by example with his choice, and he decreed it. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way, from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God, who? God did what? He repented of what? Are you with me, church family? Let's do it again. God what? He repented of the what? That he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. That king realized he would just be competing with himself. Choices, church family, choices. So Nineveh is saved. But look at Jonah. He is upset. Why is he upset? Because Jonah had made up in his mind, they don't deserve peace. They don't deserve a second chance. But who was Jonah competing with when it comes to that kind of stuff in his mind and his heart? Himself. Do you realize so often if we would just stop and say, who am I really competing with here? We can change the outcome of so many different situations. So Jonah should be bouncing for joy that tens of thousands of lives have been spared. And you know what I think? I think he was really angry because he realized that he was wrong. He didn't want to admit to it. So then he's got an attitude. And then the Lord allows a tree to come up in a gourd to give him shade and a little food. And then he lets it die. And then Jonah gets upset about that. And Jonah's like, why did you do that? That was a beautiful tree. It gave shade. It offered food. It did something. It offered something. It had value. And the Lord had to say unto him, true, it offered shade and it offered food and it did those things. And if this little, you can get so upset about this tree for what it offered. Are you with me? And you thought it had value. Why don't we look over here at this city full of all kinds of fruits, vegetables, and life and what it could do to make a difference in the world for other people to see what God is about. You with me, church family? Jonah was just competing with himself. Only a competing against himself. You know, let's pick somebody else. Here's one that gets me. Luke 22. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. Luke chapter 22. Now here's something. I picked this particular verse because so often people talk about Judas, but they're not pausing to catch a little something here. So, got to ask yourself, are you choosing God or are you not choosing God? Before we go forward, there's a young lady that works in my area. Her name is Kristen. Kristen comes to work and smiles every day. How many days does she smile? Kristen is 26 years old, drives a truck and can drive it like she's driving a race car. Comes into work, throws that truck into a parking lot, parking spot, walks into work, and she's smiling. She's just full of energy, whether she got her 5-inch heels with the thing at the bottom or her little big flats. She's smiling, and there's some certain people in the office like, I just don't understand. She's smiling all the time. She's so happy. And I had to break it down for them. I said, no, she's not happy. She has joy. See, joy is here. You know what this is? Here's our domino parts of our body. I got something to tell you. This is a health message. If your core, your abdomen is strong, your posture is strong. If this is strong, you're able to breathe better. If this is strong, you're able to walk better. Our core right here does so much more for our bodies than we can imagine. You want to get rid of back pain? Tighten up your abdomen and strengthen it. You want to be able to project when you speak? Tighten the core. You want to have joy in your heart? Tighten and fill your core with the Holy Spirit. You didn't hear me. I know Sonia and Matt here. I'm going to look over here and see if somebody heard me. You want to have joy? Tighten your core with the Holy Spirit. You with me, church family? If the core is not tight, then it can be filled with other things. You understand what I'm saying? That's because you're so busy competing with yourself, it gets filled with other things. So I had to tell folks, she's got joy, and she's a Christian young lady and everything. But she's got joy all the time. Now, there's some people who are happy. They got a little extra money. They had a good moment. That's being happy. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. There's times where I know my core is tight. All kinds of stuff can hit me. Then there's times it's like I feel like a broken vessel. I share that with Julie and Mommy and somebody. I said, man, and then I had to stop. And the Holy Spirit just says, oh, you're admitting that to yourself. And then a couple of days ago, I'm coming back to the scripture. I'm just trying to give you the testimony and give you the truth here. A couple of days ago, I said, man, Lord, I really need something. I'm traveling here. I just need a little something. And on this day, because I have devotion, you know, I take the time to read the devotional. And the one I'm reading is in the Ellen G. White series. And it's My Life Today. And on this day, see, if I tell it to you, you won't believe me. So I want to read it to you so you can see where I'm coming from. And so on this day, which was Thursday, and Thursday would be the 8th, right? The title of it is, In Christ, There's Strength. So if we're feeling weak, there's no Christ in the core. You with me? And so here's the verse. It says, Isaiah 27:5. I said, whoa, you're just talking to me. Victory in the conflict. Let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Then it goes on. Then it says, then the enemy cannot overcome the humble learner of Christ, the one who walks prayerfully before the Lord. Christ interposes himself as a shelter, a retreat from the assaults of the wicked one. The promise is given. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. Are you with me, church family? Man, I was just reading this, and if I keep going, you guys' mouths will be like, because my mouth was like, I was like, okay, I need to be reading more. I need to be strengthening the core. Because all I'm doing, if I'm not doing that, is I'm competing against myself. You understand what I'm saying, church family? When we don't do that, we're competing against ourselves. Boy, you guys are mighty quiet. Maybe I can get you to read a little scripture. Give me your testimony. I was having a tough moment, and the Lord said, boo, 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 read this. And I read that. It was strengthening. That's why I have some joy today to stand up before you guys. You know, happiness is temporal. You know what I'm saying? Good meal, rode home. Hey, that was safe. I made it through all that crazy traffic today. You understand? Got a good night's rest. But joy, you're not with me. Go over here. Joy is here. And you'll wake up and they say it's raining. That's okay because I woke up. Joy, they say, wow, we in heaven and you got a shack. That's okay. I got a shack by the road, but I'm still in heaven. Joy. By the way, there won't be no shacks. It's only going to be mansions. I just threw that out as an example. You with me, church family? Were you paying attention? Joy. Nothing can go wrong. They said, they closed down our business today. We don't have jobs. I still know the Lord. Something's going to happen. Keep going. Let's go have a meal. There's people I see do that, and I go like, wow. They have joy. Are you with me? Car broke down in the middle of the street, and people are shooting at other folks. And you see somebody getting out of the car. I'm like, wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute. You might get shot. We with the Lord, we just going to get out and go this way. They over there. Joy. Clear. Feel. The abdomen is strong. They can walk right. Are you with me, church fam? Now watch this. So now watch the difference. Luke chapter 22. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Now let's read this next one carefully. Verse 3. Then entered who?
Satan.
Then entered Satan. Into who?
Jesus.
Surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Now this is deep. Here you are with Christ. You're one of the 12 disciples. You're controlling the purse. And you wanted to be next to the Messiah. And all this time, your choices was about power. You are that close every day, all the time, with a role and a responsibility. But your core is empty because you're competing with yourself. And Satan enters in unto you. You see why I'm saying we need to fill the core with the Lord and the Holy Spirit? We need to be reading and studying. These different scriptures don't come about because I'm sitting there making this stuff up. You got to read and study a little bit and got to draw from them. You got to say, Lord, work with me. You got to have somebody praying for you. You know what I'm saying? You got to call somebody every now and then and pray with them. You know, there's a men's prayer group. I live here. My office is in Dallas, and I travel globally. There's a men's prayer group in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they meet every day, Monday through Friday, at 5:30. Ooh, I'm going to look at a man that I think appreciated. It's a men's group, and they meet at 5:30 a.m. on the phone, dedicated conference number, my brother. We dial in, and they go through, and they say, this is men now. I'm amazed. Men saying, here's the things that they want to thank the Lord for, that they want to pray for, and they're mentioning other people and other stuff and their children, and they're praying for education. They're praying for our leaders to take the time in our churches and our conference to be more committed to God. They're praying for a higher commitment. Do you realize that's man, I couldn't even fathom something like that happening. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they call and they meet at 6:00. We meet every day. 5:30 a.m. Central Time. And some of the things sometimes when you have a young man get on the call, you ever have a young man get on the call and you know it's a young man? And he get on and the first thing he said, you know what? I just want to make sure we don't forget this. He said, and he realized that he's young. Okay, and he realizes that he's young, you with me, and he says, let's keep praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said, I want to pray for that. I want to pray that our religious leaders let the Holy Spirit and Christ come into their heart. I want to pray that I don't give up on the Lord in spite of all these different things around me, that I stand strong. I'm sitting there going, by the time he's finished with his list, it's like, well, I don't need to be saying nothing. He didn't beat me this girl. He done covered everything. Everything. I just got to throw in my little family. You know what I'm saying? Young man. Do you know how inspiring that is? His core is full. He's thinking about other people and the Lord. Is your core full? Or are you just still competing with yourself? So Judas, empty core. Lucifer just came on in. And he betrayed one of the most valuable things, the most valuable thing that we have is man. And then what happens to him? What does he go do? Church, fine, let me hear you. What does he go do? After Christ is crucified, what does he go do? He hangs himself. But what did he try to do before he hanged himself? He tried to give the money back. And they wouldn't take it. They're like, oh no, we know that that's no good money. No. So he throws it. And then Judas leaves. Now, here's what's interesting. You didn't let Satan utilize you, and you realize it, and you didn't even take the time to try to redeem. You're still just competing with yourself. And so he leaves, and he goes and hangs himself. Now, different people will read the different scriptures on Judas, and you know what's interesting? There's times you hear anybody being strangled, marks on his neck, the body hanging there, it smelled, his bowels hanging out. But you know, when somebody hangs themselves and they hang there for a period of time, the body warps, and that's what happens to the bowels. There's no conflict of message there, but at the end of the day, he didn't take the time to come back and try to fill it up with the Lord. That's what happens to us. We get caught on the street of dire straits, corners of adversity, cracks in the road. It's amazing how when something goes wrong, you can see everything. There's a crack here that this is messed up. I don't like this. The dress don't fit. My tie's too small. I don't need new pair of shoes. I couldn't do that. It just go on. Stop competing with yourself. You know, sometimes at work when they have those little meetings and stuff and it goes awry, I say, I know we're not supposed to be able to pray at work. I tell you what, appreciate how this meeting was, somebody took the time to set it up and try to facilitate it. It is obvious we reached a state that we cannot continue forward at this time. Thank you, everyone. We'll go ahead and end this call. And I get off and I said, had a little prayer because I don't want to be, you know. But we got to stop. See, when you let that stuff keep going, what happens? Suicide. People wind up doing things that they, you know what I'm saying? You're so busy being focused on yourself, you don't spend time with your daughter. And then later on in life, you wonder why she went down that path doing that type of thing. Or you don't spend the time with your son, and then you wonder why he's spending time doing that other thing versus these things that we could be doing that are better wins for us all. Are you with me, church fam? Yeah, it's amazing. I'm with some fathers, and they can tell me every stat on every game and all this other stuff and the number of hours they work and blah, 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 blah. And I say, hey, did you see your kid just fall over there, man? Now, our Heavenly Father sees all kinds of things. And he's taking the time to prepare mansions for us, have a place for us to be. Everybody in this room, look at this. How many mansions would that be? Woo! I'm definitely coming to your house, Lord willing. I know it's going to be big, highly decorated. Mark, I'm coming to yours, Lord willing. It'll be right next to Cheryl's. Hers will be full of fruit and vegetables and all kinds of healthy stuff. You understand what I'm saying? If we were thinking that way, like, that's a mansion. I'm going to visit them. That's a mansion. We're going to read together. Haley, I'm going to come and read with you. But I'm not coming with Nobles there because he always going to want to touch my fingers. You know? you understand what I'm saying? Everybody here, this, all we're doing is walking the course. We're on the course. We're not competing with ourselves. We're not. It's just, you just walk the course. Everybody here is going to win. It's not that type of competition. All we got to do is just choose. It's so simple. And stop competing with ourselves. Stop competing with ourselves. Wind up like Judas. Show you an example of joy. Let's go to Luke 19. Luke what? 19. Luke chapter 19, a few pages back. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named who? Which was the chief among the publicans. And he was what? Rich. Now, why was he rich? He what? He was swinging money. Do you guys know what swingling means? Yeah. What does swingling mean? Because y'all teaching me something. I've learned a new word. No, swindling. Swindling, he was stealing. He was overcharging, overtaxing. He was doing those kinds of things. Are you with me, church family? All right. And he sought, though. Now, here's what's interesting. Here's somebody doing something wrong. And you know what? Everybody here sees people doing stuff wrong. I'm not talking about someone who just made a mistake. We see people doing stuff wrong, don't we? Let's be honest. You see it. Don't try to say, oh, no. No, I see all the good in everybody because I done talked with some of y'all. So we see people who do something wrong, don't we? All right, so we see that. Let's be honest. We need to see when we're doing something wrong, though, too. That's what we should be for, because we could be competing with ourselves, or we be trying to compete with other people. We're competing here. Feel the core. So here we go. So he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Press was the pound of people, because he was little of stature. He ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, Jesus looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So other people may not have seen Zacchaeus run and climb to the tree, but Jesus did that day. Are we taking the time to have a desire in our hearts to see the Lord? Do we look at the path and the direction that he's headed in? And when we're small in stature, do we run ahead? Are we climbing up to the sycamore tree? Are we that way the Lord can see us and we can see him? Are we doing that? Let's continue. And he made haste and he came down and he received him how? It doesn't say happily. It says joyfully. Where's joy? What's the difference? Joy is what? It's in the core. His core was filled. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Now, how often do we know that something is right is occurring, and we see something is right is occurring, even though that person may be wrong, we can see the right. And then amongst ourselves, our one selves, we start that murmuring. Because we start competing here, and then somebody else had that same thought, and we do, but both of us are just competing with ourselves, but we're sharing that dislike that we just saw that we shouldn't have in the first place. So they had that murmuring. And so they had that murmuring, but Zacchaeus stood, okay. So they saw it, he was a guest, and then Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor." He didn't come and say, "A little bit." Did y'all notice that? He said, "You know what? Half. What's half? Tell me how big that is. 50%. That means if he got two, one's gone. He got four, two's gone. If he's got 10, five is gone. That's more than 10%. He's joyful. He said, "Lord, look, half of all my goods I'm going to give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him," how many times? Do you think Zacchaeus is competing with himself anymore? You know how you can tell the difference between somebody who's competing with themselves and somebody who's not? Besides Trace. Can you see the difference? Can you see? Somebody who's got joy. Remember I was talking about Kristen earlier, and no matter what, she was always happy. Somebody got joy. If they have only a mite, like that widow had, if that's all she's got, but she know who Jesus is, she's going to drop it. You can tell, hey, glory in the Lord. You know who had joy? When the 10 people got healed from leprosy, but the one who really had joy was the one that came back and said, "You know what? Thank you." Not that the other ones weren't happy. They were happy because they didn't have leprosy anymore. This person had joy because they had a testimony that Jesus lives. And this is the results that you're going to get from believing in him and not competing with yourself. Well, we're mighty quiet. Let's keep going here. Let's go a little while longer. Because all we're doing all of this time is competing with ourselves. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. You know what? We talked about iniquity in the scriptures of Ezekiel 28:15, but this wasn't necessarily a message about Lucifer. That put that there as a point, as a starting point. You know, Lucifer was perfect. He was a covering cherub. There was no higher position for him to have. None, except to be God. He wasn't happy with that slot. He wasn't happy with that slot. Now, I believe everybody here being in that slot would have joy in their core to be able to say, "Hey, I'm able to stand over the Lord every day and absorb the Shekinah glory of God. Oh, Lord, you want me to go and tell the angels whatever? Yes, I'm going to go do that right now." And somebody says, "What's the Lord like?" The Lord is love. He's joyous. And he told me to tell you today, go and pick off of the blueberry tree. Where is that at? He didn't tell me that, but you can go find it. Just walk outside the gate because you will have joy. We should have joy. Lucifer didn't have joy because iniquity was found in him. Y'all know what iniquity means? Sin. He chose not to hold on to that joy because he wanted to compete with himself. Second Timothy chapter 2. Now, chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You with me, church family? Able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure what? Hardness. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That means there's going to be some difficult times. You agree? I mean, that. Hey, I'm telling you. I've been through all these mergers and acquisitions with companies, and you know, you do the right thing, and your department gets wiped out, or you don't want to get transferred somewhere else, and then they say, well, you can't do these other things now because you're the new guy here, and they always seem to want to throw something on you, and you're like, you keep living through that, and you're like, Lord, why do these different things keep happening? That gets to be a strain, church family. I'm letting you know, I feel that pain often. And then there's times where it's like, wait a minute, I got to stop. Because who am I competing with when I feel that pain? I'm competing with myself. I gotta move away from it. I keep praying for me on that because that's difficult. It's very difficult for me. There's other things that are extremely easy for me. But that's one that's difficult because I just, you want to do the good thing, the right thing. You want to feed your family. You want to be able to deliver things for your immediate family, extended family and friends. And then that nonsense and that craziness happens. And yet you see this guy come along and no skills, no certs, no talents, but he just happened to be the one that go drinking with him. You know what I'm talking about? Well, Bob goes drinking with us. Bob has a spouse at his home, have kids, he have golf clubs in his trunk, and they just up and go at any time. But I don't drink. Can we do something else? You with me, church family? That's a hard thing. It's hard. But you still got to be a good soldier and take that hardness. No man, verse 4, that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. So if we're warring for the Lord, we're not getting entangled. You with me? Then you won't get entangled with the things that are here. Because you'll still have joy in the core, and this stuff will just be happening. I'm not saying we won't have compassion, we won't have sympathy, I'm not saying we won't have emotions to be able to help deal with that, but we're not going to get caught up in it. You know how people get you caught up in the rhythm? You know what I'm saying? You get caught up in the rhythm and things keep going and going and going, and then there you are, back in a state of depression, back in a state of doing something immoral, back in a state, and then you feel like you're never going to be able to overcome, and that's when you're definitely on Satan's ground, because he's like, oh, I got this one. That's because you're choosing to compete with yourself. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Pause for a second. You ever heard the word, people pronounce it different ways, and then we're going to close. Reprobate, reprobate. You hear that somebody, they had a reprobate mind, the Lord leaves them to themselves to have a reprobate mind. You ever look that up in the dictionary? You know, I've gone and looked at different dictionaries, and I'm so glad we have some of these old dictionaries. Look, I got my old Bible so you can get what something means, because nowadays you look it up and it says, oh, it is a soft and sometimes humorous way of being able to say that someone is unprincipled. I read that and I said, it was like, and I understood, like, mommy, sometimes when I say something to her, she's like, yeah, but what does that mean? You say it down. I want you to break that down. I read that and I said, what does that mean? So I went and got the old dictionary. And you know what it said? It said evil, synonymous with scoundrel, villainous, full of unhealthy decay. Now we know what that means, right? Reprobate. So if somebody's mind is jacked up like that, do you think they're making the right decisions? They're not making the right decisions. Whose grounds are they on? They're on Satan's grounds. And they're in a position they'd be just like Judas Iscariot. Just lift up his tie and open up. Go ahead on in. And then Satan would be sitting right in there in the core. And then you'll go do something that you understand what I'm saying? Next thing you know, you dressed up like the Joker at the movie theater, and that's who you think you are. People talked about they could just see him taking on more and more demonic activities and dimensions in his life. Strengthen the core. Quit competing with yourself. Strengthen the core. Quit competing with yourself. Amen.